Well, hello, everybody. Here we are. We are Grand Forks Best Source. You can call us GFBS. Joining us today from Safe Kids Grand Forks, Karma Hansen and Jessica Gunitsky. Think I got that right? Yep. Looked like it. Good, good. Show today, by the way, brought to you by Raptor PCS right here in the Grand Cities Mall, the very best place, hands down, to take your computer. They do a full range of computer services at affordable rates. I mean, everything. Computer builds, virus removal, hardware repairs. Also, the place to go if you want to buy a new laptop. And you know what? In most cases, you'll have your computer back the following day. Raptor PCS, they'll come to your house, they'll pick your computer up, or you can stop at the loading zone in front of Rumors. They're the winners of the top-rated local businesses in 2019, 2020, and 2021. Yeah, bring your computer in and mention this ad, and they'll give you 15% off any computer service. Man, the deals just get better all the time. We go to Raptor PCS all the time. I told you it's because it's the best place to take your computer. Check them out, raptorpcs.com, or call 701-772-7626. Raptor PCS, right here in the Grand Cities Mall. Well, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call or text us here at the studios. Our phone number is 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. Before we get going, time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. And here we go. Why does a seagull fly over the sea? Why does a seagull fly over the sea? Because if it flew over the bay, it would be a bagel. Karma, you acted like you knew that one.
As soon as you started to say it, I did. And it was actually a good one.
Well, good
work today, John.
Now, the most important thing that we do to judge my jokes is we go to Katie the intern. What did you think of that one, Katie?
Well, I mean, you gave me a heads up saying it was a little cheesy, and you thought it was good, Karma?
Well, right. It was better than the one last time I was here where I kind of had to give him a side eye look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you my neighbor's phone number. You can take it up with her. She's the one that tells me these jokes. Karma Hansen, of course, we've had you on the show before, but Jessica Gunitsky, welcome to the show. And to make sure you got, there we go. Try that.
Jessica, we are just super blessed to have her as a part of our team. She was a UND student in public health several years ago and did a clinical experience with us, and we immediately saw that she had a lot of talent and recruited her to come work for us as a flex-time employee, went on and got her master's degree and did an internship actually with Safe Kids Worldwide out in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
And moved back to Grand Forks, and we knew we wanted to hire her, and when we had the opportunity to do so, we added her to our team. She started with us in February, and she will be coordinating a lot of our pedestrian and wheeled sports and home safety initiatives. And so she has an incredible wealth of knowledge as it relates to the Safe Kids work that we do within the community, but then also brings her public health background in. And so while she's fairly new to our staff, she's not new to Safe Kids, and we're just very blessed to have her.
All right, Jessica, your time to shine. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Jessica Gunitsky now, maiden name Knutson. I graduated from Red River High School in 2010.
We won't hold that against you, but okay.
Right. I got married last year. We're expecting our first baby in June, so that's pretty exciting. And we have two dogs, and we live kind of over by the Greenway. So
yeah, cool. Yeah. What are your dogs' names? That's
Harvey,
huge for me.
Harvey and Hazel.
I love human names on dogs.
Yes.
I think they are the coolest. I have a dog named Rodney. Well, I had a dog named Rodney. I got a cat named Ron, another one named Gracie. Yeah, I love human names. But anyway, we're kind of getting off topic here. What we are here for is to keep kids safe. Every part of the year, depending on what the season is, fall, winter, spring, summer, there are different dangers. There are different things to look for. Now, summer, especially on a day like today, I think we might actually have a summer, at least for today anyway. But there's a lot of other things that people need to be looking out for in summer, especially with kids. And the first one I want to hit on, it's time to bring the bicycles out now. And it's not like when I was a kid. We didn't set up a ramp and lay a bunch of kids down and jump over them and stuff. Now, that's probably part of my problem today is doing things like that. Bike safety is huge for kids.
It is. And that's an area that Jess is covering under her kind of expertise. And she's doing, in fact, we hardly see her in our office nowadays because we do a program called Safety on Wheels, where in the fall we go into the Grand Forks public schools. Mm-hmm. And then in the spring we go into the elementary, the third grade classes all throughout the region. So the private schools and all, you know, Grafton and Langdon and Larimore and Crookston and places like that, and do head injury presentations and then Bicomma distributions. And so we hardly see Jess, but she can talk a little bit about bike safety and why helmets are important, different types of helmets that there are, and how people can go about getting them from Safe Kids Grand Forks.
Okay, before I go to you, you know, I know I've had numerous concussions in my life, and a lot of them were when I was a child, but you didn't think about that back then compared to now. And, you know, you fast forward 40 years and look at me. I mean, parents, do you really want your kids to turn out this way? But how important is it for bicycle safety and helmets and all the safety gear?
Yeah, it's really important, especially for kiddos. Their brain is obviously still developing up until age, I believe, 25 even, now they say. So we always tell kids it's important to wear your bike helmet at all times because we don't know when accidents are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Accidents can happen at any time, so that's why we wear a seatbelt, right? We don't know we're going to get in a car accident, but we wear a seatbelt to prevent that from, you know, injuries from happening to us. So we tell the kids it's the same thing with our bike helmets. Mm-hmm. We don't know when we're going to get a bike accident. I was in one last summer. I was riding on the Greenway and it had just rained and my bike slid out from under me. I had just tapped on my brakes. My bike slid out and I went this way and my bike went that way. So I tell kids, a lot of times they'll tell me, well, I don't wear my bike helmet because I'm a really good bike rider. Mm-hmm, and I tell them, I'm almost 30 years old and I feel like I'm a pretty good bike rider, but accidents can always happen to us. And so we just need to be wearing them at all times.
Yeah, it's not like parents, you don't have to wrap your kids in bubble wrap. I mean, just be a little bit smart about it. It's basically keeping the melon protected.
Well, and we know that kids are going to be curious. They're going to explore. We want them to have fun. We want them to do all the things that you think of as being kids' things. But that being said, your brain is a pretty important piece to protect. And when I go in the schools and I do head injury presentations, I'll talk to the kids about the fact that I'm a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I have actually taken care of patients who have been involved with head injuries, either from a car crash or from a bike crash. And that it impacts a lot of parts of your body. And in fact, we'll talk at those presentations about, you know, what does your brain do? Well, it helps you to think. It helps you to remember things for a test. It helps you to know who your mom and dad are. I remember one time when I was the manager of the pediatric unit, and I went into a room of a 12-year-old boy. He had decided to ride his bike over the train tracks without his hands on the handlebars, and it did not end well.
No.
Well, he was up in our unit with a concussion and a bad head injury, and I went into the room, and his mom and dad were on either side of the bed, and his mom was crying, and I asked her what was wrong, and her 12-year-old son recognized the dad but didn't know who the mom was, had no idea who the mom was. And the other thing it had impacted was his speech pattern. And mm-hmm. so he would sit there and try to think of very, very basic words, like he wanted his cup of water and he didn't know how to articulate that. And so seeing that as a nurse and knowing that, you know what, if you break a bone, our doctors can put a cast on it, make it better. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. if you scrape up your knees, we can, you know, clean the wound out with some low peroxide and put some antibiotic cream on it, put a Band-Aid on it, and you're fine, right? But the best doctors and nurses, head injuries are really hard to take care of, and they can have lifelong consequences.
Sure.
And when we talk to the kids about things like it controls your thinking and your breathing and your heart rate, and, you know, when you go to sleep at night, you don't need to think about, okay, I need to take a breath or whatever. Mm-hmm. Your brain is telling mm-hmm. you that you need to keep breathing, right? It controls going to the bathroom and playing ball and walking.
Everything.
And everything. And so you only get one brain. They're hard to fix. And the lifelong consequences that brain injuries can have, when you can talk to kids about that, I think it kind of drives it home. The other thing we do is we'll take a Jell-O brain mold, and we'll talk about, you know, my head feels hard, but really underneath that, this is what it feels like. And we'll mm-hmm. take that mold out and feel that softness and show that, you know what, it doesn't take a very hard hit on that to cause damage to it.
You can't put a Band-Aid on a brain. It's not a quick fix. And a lot of thing. Another thing people don't realize is every time you get a concussion or get concussed, it takes longer to heal, does more damage. Good way to put it, a hockey player, NHL hockey player I know, just retired. The guy's only like 30 years old, and he retired at doctor's advice from so many concussions.
Yeah.
He's only 30 years old at the prime of his career, and he's got to take a step back from how he makes his living because of that. And that's the thing. I mean, in my opinion, I mean, yeah, it'd be great if you wore elbow pads and knee pads and all that stuff, but it's, you got to keep the old melon protected. And folks, that is something, you know, 20 years ago, if you saw a kid riding a bike with a helmet on, you thought, ah, little wimp. Now, if you see a kid riding a bike without a helmet on, you think, well, that's odd.
Yeah. And, you know, I know I was a parent of young kids, and the rule at our house was you have a choice. You can either wear a helmet or not. Mm-hmm. But if it's not, then you're going to walk. Mm-hmm. If you are going to have wheels on your feet or wheels on your butt, you're going to have a helmet on your head because of needing to protect that. And you talk about hockey players. There's a lot of research that's been done long-term about football players their profession and just what that repeat concussion can be like. And so it's important to wear the right helmet for the right sport. And Jess can talk about how you can get a helmet through our office and why it's important to pick the right helmet for the right activity.
Yeah, so we have toddler helmets, bike helmets, and multi-sport helmets. So toddler helmets, obviously for that age, 2 to 4-ish, depending on their head size. It offers a lot more back protection because we know they're riding trikes, big wheels, things like that, where they're more likely to fall off backwards. But if your child is primarily doing biking, bike helmets would be the perfect option for them. We do have them at our office for a suggested donation of $8, and we have a variety of colors. But we know when you're riding your bike, you're more likely to fall off the front or the side and not so much the back. So, not that there's not back protection on those bike helmets, but you're just more likely to fall off those sides and the front. And then our multi-sport helmets, they offer a lot of back protection for those kids who are rollerblading, skateboarding, scootering, things like that, where they could fall backwards more likely, and just offers a lot more back. And again, the suggested donation for that one is $12, and we have three colors for that one as well. So,
well, you know, for the kids out there that think, Mom, come on, this helmet is lame, you could still put a decal on it. You can dress them up. You can paint them up. You can do whatever you want to make that helmet look cool. Yep. And it's not going to take away from the safety of it.
Absolutely. And we always tell kids that too. You know, a lot of times they'll get like a basic white or a black, but I'm like, you could color with a Sharpie or put stickers or, you know, all sorts of different things on those helmets to make them more appealing for these kids to wear.
Yeah. Pretty soon you're the kid with the coolest helmet on the block.
John, it's funny you say that because my son is now 26 years old, but when he was younger, my husband would laugh sometimes. He's like, why do we have so many checks written out to save kids? I'm like, because Eric needed a new helmet. He's like, we got a ton of them in the garage. I'm like, I know, but he wanted a different color. And he would buy the white ones. And one year he spent a ton of time with Sharpie markers and made it into, he decorated it with New Jersey Devils logos all over it. I mean, and it was funny because then all of a sudden we lived on Walnut Street and my doorbell would ring and these kids around the block would say, are you the lady that has the helmets? And then I was selling helmets literally out my front door. And then one year, the company that we buy from came out with these silver metallic ones.
Oh, yeah.
And my son, of course, had to have that. And then the next thing you know, my doorbell's ringing and the kids all wanted the silver metallic ones. So, you know, when we do go into the schools or they come by the office, I tell parents, bring the kids with because we want them to pick out a helmet that they get excited about so that they'll wear
Make them want to wear it.
Exactly.
One question. New Jersey? Really?
Well, he was 7.
Was Zach Parise playing at that time?
I was figuring it had to be because Parise was on the team.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Another thing now, with the weather warming up, it's turning into lake season again. The people are getting their pools ready to go here shortly. I mean, we've got pools, we've got the lake, we've got the public swimming pools. Water safety, huge thing. I actually witnessed somebody drowned one time. I've actually saved somebody from drowning. It only takes a second to keep your, you know, if you take your eyes off of your child, it only takes a second. But how important is water safety?
It's huge. And interesting that you bring that up because next week we're actually preparing right now for what would be our week where we do a class called Kids Don't Float. And it's a class we've done for nearly 25 years where we normally bring in kids 2nd through 5th grade over the course of 4 days. We have 7 classes. Teach about 700 kids about safety in and around water, lakes and pools and boats and life jackets and that kind of stuff. Well, obviously, because of COVID last year, that did not get to happen. Mm-hmm. This year, we do the class at UND, and they were not letting like outside people onto the campus, trying to keep the students safe from COVID and that kind of thing. So we decided that we were going to do the class virtually this year. And what we did is the class is going to be held on Thursday, May 6th, 6th from 9 to 10:30. And what we're doing is we're doing it via Zoom, and we've given the link to that to all of the classroom teachers. But we invited not only the grades of the kids who would normally be coming. For example, Kelly, third grade, has come for 25 years. Mm-hmm. West, fifth grade, came. Lewis and Clark, second grade, came. Those grades are going to come, but we're also inviting the grade that would have missed out on it last year to come. And then also some other schools around the region who we haven't had room for to come to the class, that because now it's being done virtually, we can invite them. And so that class is going to be done online next Thursday from 9 to 10:30 in the morning. We're going to have about 1,600 kids watching that class out at UND. And interestingly enough, a lot of times the work that we do, you don't know if it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. This is a class where we actually know of a situation in which three children were saved in our community because of a young girl who attended. About 5 years ago or so, we learned of an incident over Memorial Day where 2 8-year-olds and an 11-year-old went to an apartment complex over by Century School, and they found a pool there. Mm-hmm. They asked their aunt and their mom if they could go in the pool. She said, no, go to the playground. Well, what do they do at 8 and 11? But they go in the pool, right? Yep. So they get in the pool in their full-on clothing, and two of the girls got in and one did not because she could not swim. All of a sudden, the girl noticed her cousin struggling at the shallow end of the pool, and she was able to reach in and grab her and pull her to the side and get her up, and the girl was kind of coughing and sputtering. And this little girl, her name is Bonita, went around and did the Heimlich maneuver on her till her cousin kind of threw up and gagged and choked and started doing okay. Bonita started looking for her sister and couldn't find her. Well, her sister had gotten in on the deep end of the pool, not realizing that there was a deep end or a shallow end because the pool looks level all the way across, right? And she saw her sister down there. She had been to our Kids Don't Float water safety class where we talk about reach, throw, go. And she knew she couldn't swim, so she ran until she found an adult sitting on a balcony, yelled for help. The adult came down, got her sister off the bottom of the pool. They did CPR, brought her into Altru, and 2 days later, she was discharged home. Wow. Now, when we learned about that story, we went out to Lake Agassiz, and we provided her with a life-saving award. And when we asked Bonita how she knew what to do, two things. Number one, she had been to our Kids Don't Float class, and she said, I went to the class where I got to drive the little boats in the pool, and you told me to reach and throw and go, so I did that. And then she knew how to do the Heimlich because the YMCA does a class every year. It's a phenomenal class that's called Safety Around Water, and it's geared for kids who maybe have never done swimming lessons or who can't afford them. And it's not just swimming lessons, but they go over CPR and rescue and all that kind of stuff. Bonita had missed Monday and Tuesday of that class, but she went on Wednesday and Thursday, and they did CPR and the Heimlich training those days. So those two classes and exposure to water safety education essentially saved three kids that day.
You know, when I was a kid growing up, I lived on a man-made lake. My dad one day took me out on a big inner tube and he threw me off, and of course I didn't know how to swim. I was struggling, but he kept yelling at me, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic. And what I'm getting at with this story is I know Paul, the producer, he's got a young son now. I've been probably right around 2 years old or something, but he's in swimming lessons right now. When is it too early? When is the right time? And how important is it? Because a lot of the things that can happen bad in water are because you panic.
Yeah, absolutely. So they start swimming lessons for newborns, you know, little young kids. That being said, the recommendation from the American Academy of Pediatrics and Safe Kids is that all kids, at least by age 5, have some type of exposure to formal swimming lessons, because being around water, whether it's in a tub or a pool or a lake or a river or a boat or fishing or whatever that is, it's a lifelong skill. And water safety is one of those things where, you know, it's not like in the movies where you see somebody yelling and screaming of help, help, I'm drowning. it's very silent. Mm-hmm. People who are drowning, they're getting water into their lungs. They can't breathe. So when they do bob their head up above water, they're panicky. And so they are doing everything in their power to try to get air into their lungs. So they're not yelling and screaming. They're just trying to breathe. Mm-hmm. And so turning your back for a few minutes could mean the difference in life and death in those kids, because you might not hear the splash. You might not hear them screaming or you know, being in trouble. And so having, even if they don't, you know, make the Wahoo swim team or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and become a competitive swimmer, as long as they have the basic ability to tread water and keep their head above water, that's really critical. And so if you go to our website, safekidsgf.com, you will see a link to a lot of the places within our community who offer swim lessons. So the Park District and Choice and UND with Swim North Dakota and the YMCA. I encourage you to get your kids enrolled. Now, that being said, UND and a lot of these places have been on hiatus of being able to teach because of COVID, but they are starting to open up and come back online with those lessons. So I cannot stress enough to parents, get your kids enrolled in swim lessons. Now, one of the things we heard in our community is there are parents with children with special needs, and particularly children with autism have a propensity to tend to wander, mm-hmm. and they're very intrigued by water.
Yes.
And drowning, 90% of children with autism who die do so because of drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard the need in our community for having swim instructors who knew how to work with children with special needs. And so we have partnered with various aquatics people in our community who teach swim lessons to teach them how to do special needs classes. And we're very, very grateful to Little Miracles in our community who has come on board to help support the adaptive aquatics. And it's really basically one-on-one swim lessons for mm-hmm. children with special needs. We are hoping now that UND is able to open up a little bit to outside people that we'll be able to start those classes again as well. More information about those can also be found on our Safe Kids Grand Forks website. And if there are people that cannot afford that class, contact us because we will help them with some partial scholarships for it.
And I'm going to get off the swimming subject here. I'm going to mention one thing, another story I've got, and I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to get into detail, but parents out there, it doesn't take much. I had a brother. He was 20 years old. He drowned in 6 inches of water. It can happen. So watch your kids around the pools, the lake, the river, any body of water.
And to that point, John, we say that if you've got kids in the water, the lifeguard is not there to be a babysitter.
No.
They are there to scan the whole mm-hmm. pool. You need to ascertain at what age your kid is okay to go to the pool alone. If you drop your 6 or 7 year old off at the pool and think that the lifeguard is going to babysit all day, that is not the right mentality. They need adults there. And we say active adult supervision. Active supervision is not texting,
that
taking
means leave
a nap.
Your phone in the car.
Right. It's not sitting around in a group, visiting with people, taking a nap, reading a magazine, eating. Active adult supervision means you are within, you know, a little bit of a close reach of those mm-hmm. kids and that you can keep your eye on them.
Now is the time of the year, too, especially out of my house. I live out of town a little bit, out of East Grand Forks, but the tractors are going. They're putting seed in the ground. Farming safety for kids. I mean, there's a million things you could talk about.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we've already seen a tragedy
yes.
of a 3-year-old in Minnesota that died with a skid steer on the farmland. It's a very, very busy time. I grew up, my dad had farmland and farmed, had Case International dealerships. I have a son-in-law who's now a farmer. It's a really busy time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot of activities. You know, gone are the days of where it's, you know, one farmer and his wife and whatever.
However many boys they
yeah,
got. Yeah.
It's a big industry, mm-hmm. right? A lot of moving pieces, a lot of things going on. And, you know, you think about the size of that equipment. It's oftentimes heavy and loaded with
yes.
stuff. They can't stop quickly. And there are huge blind zones around that equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot of work right now. Ag Country is a partner of ours in our ag and ATV safety because, you know, they are a company that steps up and said, yes, we want to help you with your financial needs and your crop planning and that kind of thing. But they realize, as do we, how dangerous the farming industry is and a lot of moving parts and pieces. So a couple things as it relates to farm safety. Kids, they have a tendency to want to follow mom or dad. And yep. so if they leave, they're going to follow them out into the yard. Designating play areas in a farm would be really important. Like, you can be on the grass, but you can't go on the gravel. Mm-hmm. Put a fence around that area. Make some line of demarcation, knowing that even though you set that rule, the kid is likely going to follow. So farmers taking that walk around that equipment before they move it, knowing where those kids are, maybe putting a lock on the door so that they can't get out without letting an adult know that they've gone out into the yard. Keep in mind where, obviously it's been a very dry spring this year, but one of the other incidents we'll see on farms is kids getting into ditches where there might be water that's accumulated and rushing water. So keep that in mind if you've got low areas. And then just animal safety things. Animals can be very dangerous, very heavy, very big.
I've been kicked by a horse and a cow.
Yeah, and particularly this time of year where cow has a baby, right? And they're going to be very protective of that and somebody coming up to that. So that's another thing. And then knowing and understanding like power takeoffs and PTOs and how dangerous they can be, even for adults who might get a loose sleeve or a pant leg near them and all of a sudden be sucked up into that.
Yeah, and most of the injuries that occur or deaths with children is usually in the farmyard. It's not when you're out in the field. But everything you just said, it's a great idea. And also, if you're a farmer and you're a parent, do what you were taught when you were growing up. Know what to be aware of. Know what to look for, the animals, the PTOs, the equipment, because, well, they're not making tractors or equipment any smaller. No. And some of these, I mean, they're huge, and you don't know what's right below you. Maybe the kid followed you out, and like you said, you jumped up at the tractor, didn't realize he was still out there. And, okay, I didn't want it to go the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. One other thing I will say, and I would have you reach out to Ag Country about this. They are sponsoring a certain number, I believe it's 50 kits that are for local fire departments who can help with grain bin evacuation or rescues. That has been another area where you've seen, this is more adult injuries and deaths, but a lot of tragedies in our area of people getting in to grain bins that are not harnessed and they're falling into that grain and getting sucked down into it. And Ag Country has been very supportive of providing these kits to rescue personnel within communities. They send somebody out and they do training about how to use the kits so that they don't send rescue people into the bin to try to help a person who might be submerged in the grain and have more people sucked into that. But their Ag Country, very supportive of agricultural safety and farming safety, and very grateful that they're, you know, putting some money into some of that. And they would have more information on that as well.
Well, as the summer toys come out, I own a ATV, a four-wheeler. I have rolled it once, scared the living you-know-what out of me, and I sit and I think to myself, because I'll see these kids driving adult four-wheelers, and I think to myself, you know what? If they ever rolled and that thing rolled over them, they have no chance at all. What do you say about the, you know, the people there? I mean, all kids are different, you know. I mean, I was driving adult motorcycles when I was, before I knew how to ride a bicycle, but I was a little different. But what do you tell these parents if you see them? I mean, first off, I would think about getting a child's ATV because they do have throttle control. You can max them out at 4 or 5 miles an hour or whatever. But, man, when I tell you what, when I see kids driving these full-size four-wheelers, and especially if they don't have a helmet on or anything, I just think, oh my gosh, I don't want to be their parent if they get that phone call.
You know, it's interesting you talk about that. I was that mom that didn't let my kids ride on ATVs. I've told people this many times before. I would put my 10-year-old behind a wheel of a car before I would put him on an ATV.
Sure.
A car comes with seatbelts. It comes with airbags. It comes with rollover bars in the roof, none of which are available on an ATV. Those pieces of equipment can weigh between 600 and 800 pounds and go up to 70 miles an hour. And there is not one protective mechanism on them that will protect them. The American Academy of Pediatrics and Safe Kids Worldwide have the recommendation that no kids under age 16 should be riding on an ATV, an adult size ATV, because exactly what you talked about. You know, most people think, oh, I'll put my helmet, my kid, my you know, my helmet on a kid, and they'll be fine. But the reality is that a lot of the injuries and the deaths that we are seeing are not just from head injuries.
No.
It's from crushing injuries.
Yep.
And those vehicles are made to go on uneven terrain.
Mm-hmm.
And kids maybe don't ride them on the road. They'll ride them on the ditch, but they don't understand that there's a certain way you need to ride on the ditch, right? Because
you need to lean and you need to do all of that stuff.
Exactly. And they don't have enough upper body strength to bring that ATV into an upright position.
Right.
And so it's not just the head injuries, it's the crushing injuries. Mm-hmm. So a couple things. Number one, the North Dakota Parks and Rec does have an ATV safety course that you can register for online. So I get it that it's a part of the farming industry, right? ATVs used all the time on the farms. That being said, they are becoming way more prevalent at lake places where people say, oh, I want my kid to be able to get over to the resort or to the other side of the lake, and they're not old enough to drive yet, so I'm going to buy him an ATV, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to buy a youth one because dad wants to ride on the big one, so they buy one and it's way too big and whatever. But so I'm not naive to think that kids under 16 aren't going to do that. But if they are, they need to take that ATV safety course. They need to have not only a helmet, but a chest protector as well. It's a piece of metal that's covered with padding that is designed to hopefully take some of the weight off of you. And then you need to send the parents with to say, do they actually know how to navigate this piece of equipment?
Right.
I would consider encouraging them to get a smaller CC engine machine so that they can govern the speed on it. And then also keep in mind that ATVs have a designated number of people that are to be on them.
Yes.
And anytime you start adding more people on it than that seat is intended for, you shift the center of balance for them, and it's more likely to tip. So you'll see an ATV with three or four 12-year-olds on it, and they are moving the weight of where the center of that is, making it even more apt to tip.
Yeah, and they're not leaning with the driver. I mean, they're just kind of...
They're riding.
They're just extra weight.
Joyride.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you are interested in those courses, North Dakota Parks and Rec would have those available. And then I would say the other piece to that is the helmets that Jess talked about for bikes and that kind of thing. Those are not intended for motorized sports. So if you're purchasing a piece of equipment like that, you need to get a helmet that's intended for motorized activities because they're a stronger plastic and have different protection on them.
All right, we're talking with Karma and Jessica with Safe Kids of Grand Forks. A lot of things coming up in May that we're going to get to here in just a minute, but I want to talk about Executive Properties right now. This is the busy time of the year. Everybody's looking for contractors right now. Get a hold of Executive Properties now. They do all types of commercial and residential work. They do pretty much everything. They got a guy over there, Barry Romo. He's got a ton of experience, 30-plus years. Him and his crew, they're awesome. They're going to take care of you. Now, here's the thing, and I've gone through this because I'm having some work done in my house right now. You call a contractor. They say they're going to do one thing, and then you don't hear from them again, or they never show up. Here's the deal about Executive Properties. They're going to call you back no matter what. Now, if they cannot do that type of work, well, if they don't, they're going to refer you to somebody that does. Here's what Executive Properties does. Barry comes in. He's going to bid the project. Then they come in and prep it. They do the job from start to finish. They don't bring in the middlemen, just Executive Properties. But again, like I said, book now for spring before it's too late. You want it done. You want it done right. Get a hold of Executive Properties. They've got senior and referral discounts. And you can check out the reviews on Facebook and Google, too. Or check out their website, executiveproperties.org. You need some work done around the house? Give them a call, 701-330-1273. It's Executive Properties right here in Grand Forks. Back with Jessica and Karma. And Karma, we were talking before we went on air. Bus drivers, they got to be a big tool. It is my pet peeve when I am following a bus and that stop sign comes out and I see cars still going by. This is the part I like. The bus driver can get on the phone. He can get on the radio. And he said, this license plate right here, they blew this stop sign. Get them in trouble. I think they should have the book thrown at them. And this is happening a lot.
Yeah, Jess, do you want to talk about the call that we received earlier this week and how we're trying to help in that situation?
Yeah, so we had a Dietrich driver get a hold of us and say that she had been having some issues at the intersection of 17th and 24th over by the Rydell Car Wash, kind of just up north there. And she was having issues with, she stops at that four-way stop and she puts her sign out and people are still passing her. We really like to think that this is just an educational piece that we need to do, that people aren't intentionally doing this, because when that stop sign comes out, that's creating a crosswalk for these kids to get across the street. And most of the time, if the kids aren't getting off and crossing the street, that stop sign won't even come out if they're just going to get off on this side of the berm. But she intentionally puts that out because she has three kids that will cross the street at that intersection. And she's constantly having people pass. And, you know, you can only get down so many license plates and things like that. You know, she does have a monitor on the bus to help her out with that. But, you know, we want to be proactive about this and not reactive. We don't want to wait till a child gets hit. So
absolutely.
We did put some signs up that we normally put up at the beginning of the year to remind people, like, stop for the bus. It can be deadly. So we did put up some signs at that. We've been doing some radio interviews. We've done Facebook posts, things like that. And AAA is a great sponsor of ours that helps us with that, to put out that safety information.
Yeah, because the stop sign on a bus trumps a road sign.
It does.
I mean, it does.
It does. And, you know, what's interesting is when a bus pulls up to a spot where they're going to let kids off, and sometimes it's not even an intersection, it might be a mid-block area, they stop and they put their stop sign out and turn their flashing lights on. That means do not pass the bus, no matter what direction you're coming from. So if you're coming behind, you can't go around and pass it. If you're coming towards the bus and meeting it, you can't cross in front of that, because as Jess said, imagine that there's an imaginary crosswalk in front of it. If you're turning the corner, you can't come and touch. Don't come anywhere near that bus, because it means that kids are getting out and they're trying to make a safe place to stop. So as you talked about, you can. There are ticketed routes in which the bus driver can take down the license number, and they will send that into the Grand Forks PD, and a citation will be issued to the owner of that vehicle, whoever that's licensed to. So if your kid's driving it or a neighbor's driving it or whatever, that's who's going to get the ticket. And the call that we got, or the email that I received from this Dietrich driver, in 1 week, she had taken down 20 license plates at the same intersection.
Bottom line is stop means stop.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, after living in Grand Forks for as many years as I have, and you mentioned, Jessica, maybe lack of education. I really think, and I just got my license renewed this past winter, but I really think you should have to take a short written test every time you get your license renewed, because I see it all the time. People that use turn lanes as merge lanes, people that don't stop at stop signs, they don't use their turn signal. They're horrible drivers, and what it basically boils down to is maybe lack of education, and second, just being lazy. Yeah. I mean, it's a privilege to be able to drive a car, and part of that privilege is keeping your surroundings safe, not just you.
Well, and you think about those little kids, you know, it's the end of the school day, they're busy, they're tired, they're ready to run off some energy, right? And they get out of that bus, and they're trusting that they can go across. And that bus is a big vehicle, so if a kid is coming, you know, and crossing in front of it to get to the other side of the street, that traffic may or may not see them. And, you know, so we are trying to do some of this education, but that being said, the police have been called. They've been trying to get to that intersection, but it's not just that intersection. But if parents or caregivers or drivers recognize this occurring at other places in the community, we do have these big orange that kind of look like a political yard sign that we put up in the berm, and Jess was out and marked all four intersections. We've got special permission to have them out in that area because it's between the curb and the sidewalk, which is owned by the city, and you normally can't put a sign there. But we do have those. It's not going to be the end-all, cure-all, but it will hopefully raise awareness to it, and we appreciate things like being able to come on your show and have this discussion, you know, about this, because awareness, if we can increase the awareness, hopefully our community will do better. This isn't just about a message that we can send something home in a school newsletter to the kids who are going to that school. This is about our entire community coming together and doing our part. And so it doesn't matter who's getting off that bus. Stop sign is out, flashing lights are on, you have to stop in all directions and cannot pass that bus.
You know, whenever I'm driving around a bus, my main focus is on the bus. I mean, of course, you have to be aware of your surroundings, but I always focus on the bus. And we're going to just one more quick thing here, and this is another one of my pet peeves. School crossings, when it's flashing 20 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour when children are present. How many people blow through these things? And it just, it bugs me to no end. Why can't you go from 30 to 20 for just the one intersection and then get back up to your speed?
Or you know what? when school is starting and ending, take a different route to school if you can. You know, oftentimes I tell people we do this as we do our back to school segment. I'll say, if you don't have to go by a middle school or an elementary school or a high school at the beginning and the end of the day, you know, elementary start at 8 o'clock, they get out at 3 o'clock. Middle school is 8:30, get out at 3:30. Go a different route. It might even be quicker by doing that. And the more we can decrease congestion in the school area, the better. And you're right. I mean, it's not just the speeding, but it's the distracted people on phones or putting a makeup or their dogs on their lap or, you know, they're messing around with something in the back seat. Kids around schools, we go in, and Jess has been one of those ones that's gone to the schools, and we do the education around the schools. Here's a crosswalk. Here's how you stop. You look left, right, left. But the reality is this: car meets kid, car wins every time.
Every time.
And it doesn't matter who had the right of way or whose fault it was, car wins every time. And, you know, we have had kids. One year we had 5 kids in a school year that were hit walking or biking to school. And our community said, you know what, this is not acceptable. And we put together a large group of people who worked on, you know, from the law enforcement, the engineering, we had radio stations and television stations doing interviews and messaging and that kind of thing. The reality of it is it's a horrible tragedy anytime those accidents, injuries, crashes, near misses happen. And so we're trying to do our part, but we need the community's help to help us.
Well, you mentioned biking to school. There's a lot of things going on with Save Kids in May and Bike to School Week coming up the first week in May.
Yeah, so Bike to School Day is actually May 5th, but we like to celebrate all week long. So we have put out a sign up to all of the schools within Grand Forks, East Grand Forks, to see if they wanted us to come do Bike to School Day that morning. So we have Winship Elementary, Kelly, Lake Agassiz, Viking, Wilder, Discovery, Century, and then South Point and East Side. They're all participating this year. And so we will be out there with some of our city council members and legislators, and then just other volunteers. So we'll be handing out incentive items to kids who bike to school that day. They can win prizes if they bike to school and wear their helmet. And then we'll be there too. If children don't have helmets, we'll be able to help them, you know, try and get into a helmet that day as well.
You know, a lot of kids take their bikes to school. Yeah.
It's a great, healthy way to get there. It decreases vehicle congestion in the area of school. And the Bike to School Day is certainly kind of a celebratory thing. But we know that there are a lot of kids that are already out and biking and that kind of thing. Jess is in the process right now of making Facebook events for each and every one of those activities. So, she rattled off all the schools that are going to be doing this next week from Monday to Friday. Each specific date will be listed on our Safe Kids Facebook page with an event, and then we'll be posting pictures of what's going on at those events in each of the specific calendar events on Facebook.
You know, I see during, even the first 2 weeks in May, your car seat checkups, I see May 5th, 6th, 10th, and there's probably more. I quit looking after that point.
Yeah, so I brought this with, and I don't know if your camera can see this, but I'll hold it up. Jasmine, who is not with us today, she's back at the office organizing all these. We have an entire sheet of car seat checkup events that goes on all throughout the community in the region. Starting in the Grand Forks community, we're going to be in Langdon and Park River and Grafton and Crookston and Lancaster and Larimore all throughout the summer months. And we keep adding to that calendar every day. There are individual Facebook events for all of these also. We are very blessed that the North Dakota Vision Zero partners with us, along with Rydell's, to host our monthly car seat checkup events the second Thursday of the month from 4 to 7. We also do an event either in the morning from 9 to 11 or in the afternoon from noon to 2 at the East Grand Forks Fire Station, where people come and get their seat checked. But in a lot of the communities around the region, we don't have maybe an indoor venue. So most of those take place during the summer months. And so we're going to be traveling all throughout the region, checking car seats, and really encourage people from those communities to come and get their seat checked. Most car seats, 4 out of 5 of them are used wrong. And knowing that motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death of all of the injury areas we work in, motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death. And so knowing and having the peace of mind that your kids are riding safely in that vehicle, whether it's a parent, a foster parent, a grandparent, a nanny, you know, somebody who's watching the kids for the summer, is really important. So we encourage people to get to these events.
Now, if you're a new family, going to have your first child, I see you have Bringing Home Baby on May 13th. You want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, just took that class, actually.
I did just take it. So I'm obviously pretty well-versed in car seats, and I will actually be becoming a tech in a few weeks here. But my husband is not so great with car seats, so I wanted him to be able to know how to install the car seat properly, how to put the baby in the car seat properly. The straps need to be at a certain height, and for which way they're facing, it has to be, you know, so tight, and all these different things. And, you know, there's a difference with the infant carriers. You can buckle them in with just a seatbelt, or they can be in with the base. So I just wanted him to be very comfortable with if he has the base or if he doesn't have the base or if his family has the baby and things like that. So we just go over a lot of really important things about, you know, how to properly install them, but also, like, when you bring that child into the house, not letting them sleep in that car seat's really important. And actually, I just learned that a few years ago, and so that's another really important thing I think people don't think of. It's called, Karma, can you say the word for me?
Positional asphyxia.
Yes.
The car seat that are designed for babies, if they're attached to the base in the vehicle, it will put the baby in the car seat at the correct angle. But when you bring that car seat in with the handle and you set it on the floor in the kitchen or whatever, it tends to have kind of a rocker bottom on it, and the weight of the child can shift it to move it into too high of an upright position. And people have heard of SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome. Positional asphyxia is somewhat similar in that the baby dies because they don't get enough air, but it's because of being in the wrong position. So it sits them too high upright. Those babies don't have strong neck muscles, and so their muscles are weak and tend to fall down, and the position of that airway is compromised, and it blocks it off, causing them to die from lack of oxygen. So you might see a baby, you know, like that in a car seat. And so that's some of the things that we teach in the class. It is designed for expectant parents. Grandparents can come as well. It doesn't matter. We spend an hour in the classroom. They get a baby doll. They practice putting the baby in the car seat and adjusting the harnesses and everything. And then the last half hour, we go out to the vehicle and we help them with installing the seat in the vehicle. All True Health System coordinates those classes, and we do that through Safe Kids in preparation for people going in to have the baby, because the nurses know a little bit about car seat safety, but they cannot get into the car.
Right.
Nor, you know, can we really, they're taking care of four or five patients. They can't just leave their patients up on the unit to go spend half an hour or 45 minutes in the car installing it. And so we try to be proactive on the front end by teaching parents before they even deliver how to do that. So when they go to All True have their baby, that they know and have the confidence that they're using that seat correctly.
Yeah. Don't do it half. I mean, don't, you know, if you're like a typical dad out there, and it, like me, I used to be this way. You don't need new instructions. It's easy. Just go to one of these car seat checkups and get it done the right way. Because then, you know, and for one thing, peace of mind. Too.
Peace of mind. Yep. And, you know, this summer we're getting into times where people are hiring nannies or caregivers for their kids for the summer. You know, maybe the kids are, you know, old enough, maybe they don't need a babysitter, but they need somebody kind of to chauffeur them around to their summer activities, swim lessons or ball or whatever that might be. If you have somebody that you've hired as a nanny or a caregiver for the summer and they have questions or they need car seats installed in their vehicle, just putting them in is not necessarily good enough. They need to know how to use them correctly. And they may not want to, you know, if you've hired some high school kid or a college kid that, you know, is going to take care of them, they may not want those car seats in their back seat the entire time. You know, they might take them out when they have friends riding with them or whatever. So knowing how to install them in the vehicle and then to put your kids into them safely is important. We kind of had this brainchild a while ago that, gosh, we should teach a nanny class at our, you know, each spring for this type of a thing. We haven't got that all fixed up. We're going to have it for you one day. But in the meantime, if you've got people that are going to be caring for your kids and you'd like us to go over how to install the seats and use them correctly, we'd be happy to do that as well.
I see you've got a smart sitter coming up on the 15th. Also, it is that time of the year. Kids are going to be done with school here soon. Also on May 15th, Safe at Home Alone. You want to tell us about these two?
Yeah, so Safe at Home Alone is actually a class that was kind of developed. We had had a boy or Girl Scout troop ask us to come in and talk about how to be safe at home. And so just some generic tips for them, tricks, things like that. And so we actually developed it into a class because there was just a need for it. They had taught, you know, these kids had went and told their parents and the parents told other parents. And so we just found that there was a really need for this community. And then we've actually been able to spread it to regional communities as well. So we were just in Larimore. And Karma, how many kids did we have in Larimore?
I think there were 40 some kids or 50 some kids that showed up at the Safe at Home Alone.
Sure.
Now that one is We can have more kids in that one. But in the Smart Sitter, they actually get like a baby doll and they practice diapering and mixing formula and cradling and swaddling and stuff. So class size is a little bit. We also go over CPR. So it is limited in the number of participants we can have. The Safe at Home Alone would be a great class to take if your kids are maybe going to be home alone this summer or switching between, you know, maybe mom leaves for work before dad's home and they're going to be home for a period of time. Geared for kids kind of that 8 to 11. And then the Smart Sitter is 11 to 14, kind of, and there's a different cost for each one and a different length of time. The Safe at Home Alone is 3 hours as opposed to the Smart Sitter that's about five and a half hours.
Okay. I put my daughter in that Safe at Home Alone, and she was really happy because they got candy.
Oh, yes.
So, also, I wanted to ask you, too, with those classes that you were mentioning earlier. So did you make your husband wear that pregnancy suit thing?
No, that is not in that part of the class.
I was forced into doing it. Oh, no. It was not cool.
I wish I could have seen that. I also see coming up May 18th, parent, foster parent safety session.
Yes. So, gosh, there is a huge need in our community for foster parents. And I know that one of the requirements for being a foster parent is having some continuing ed and, and staying current. You know, some of these are people that maybe have never had kids, or maybe their kids are all grown and things have changed since when they had their kids. And so it is a good thing that the county requires them to have training. That being said, we wanted to make it super easy for foster parents to get that continuing ed without, number one, having to leave home, and number two, costing them money to do that. And so we got pretty adept at using Zoom when COVID hit. And so we offered last fall to set up a monthly foster parent training series in which foster parents could get those continuing ed credits that they need. They didn't need to leave home or worry about childcare, and it didn't cost them anything. And so we have set up once a month. The city of Grand Forks helps us with sponsoring these events where we do some type of a training from 6:30 to 7:30 at night via Zoom. It's not just for foster parents. It could be parents or grandparents. It could be nursing students or nannies or whoever can log on. We do ask for people to register ahead of time so we can send them not only the link to the training, but also we sometimes have some like complimentary material that goes along with it that we want to send to them. And so there is information on our website about how to sign up for those. And we do have them scheduled out all the way through the end of the year. Free of charge, open to anybody, super easy. You can do it in your pajamas or at the supper table or whatever.
Okay.
And they're an hour each month.
Now, I know Save Kids of Grand Forks doesn't have funding coming out the ears. Are you guys looking for volunteers, or if somebody wants to donate, how could they do that?
Yeah, so thank you for bringing that up, John. We are, while we're based at All True Health System, we are really a community or region-wide coalition that asks anybody who has an interest in keeping kids safe to come and be our partners and help us in this work. Now, you guys obviously have airwaves, and that we consider you a part of Safe Kids Grand Forks, and that's what you're contributing to our effort. Some people have money. Some people have space for classes. Everybody has different ways in which they can give. We are doing a fundraising campaign where we're trying to raise funds for our coalition. People can go online to safekidsgf.com and donate. We are a part of All True Health System, so we are tax exempt. So you can get credit for tax credit for donating. But if a business or an individual would like to look at setting up something where they can get name recognition on a website or on our newsletter or Facebook or on covers of events or things like that, I would love to have that conversation with people. We've got a way that we can spread donations out over several years to make you be able to give a larger amount. If people want to volunteer, we have people that we need to stuff bags or help with class registration. Or I've got a group of students this summer that are going to take everything out of our vans and wash the insides of them for us and kind of get it reorganized. Right now, we're looking for helpers to come to the schools and help hand out granola bars or Go-Gurt or whatever we're going to be doing for the bike to school day. So we will take and marry up people's talents and passion and time with what our needs are. And really, we are successful because our community and our region comes together and says, I want to be a part of the work that you're doing. And that's what makes us be successful. And really, it's what brings me joy as a coordinator mm-hmm. to have such an amazing team of not just staff, but volunteers and donors who come together and say, you know what, the kids of our community are important and we want to be a part of your work.
So if you want to volunteer, donate, savekidsgf.com?
Yeah, or call our office, 701-780-1489. And myself or our staff, you know, in the office will answer the call and we'll get them directed to the right people to help with what they'd like to do. If people need volunteer time, they need an internship, you know, whatever that may be. Maybe they're looking, we've had students who want to apply to med school and they need some volunteer mm-hmm. service and they say, I want to volunteer with an organization that works with kids. Whatever that may be, we will match up those talents with what our needs are. And we're always open, and not just in Grand Forks. Safe Kids Grand Forks covers Northeast North Dakota and Northwest mm-hmm. Minnesota. So we cover a really large service area.
Don't be going after my intern now. Did we miss anything?
Well, you know, here's what I would say. Safe Kids, we have a lot of topics. You can get more information on our webpage on all of these things. SafeKidsGF.com. If you find something on our website and you would like to pass it out, maybe at your church or a Girl Scout group or mm-hmm. your classroom or whatever that may be, let us know. We'll get you printed copies of things. If you're interested in an event, call our office at All True Health System. We're at the East Grand Forks Clinic, 701-780-1489. Like us on Facebook. We have a lot of our events there. And then also go to our website, because on there we have a spot where you can sign up for our newsletter. Those come out summer, winter, spring, and fall, and we'll have one coming out right before Memorial Day, which some of the stuff in it you're going to go, yeah, I knew that. Other stuff you're going to be like, wow, I never knew that that was an issue.
Right.
So we're out there. We're here to be a resource, and very grateful to GFBS for being our partner in the work that we do.
Hey, you guys, keep up the good work. I mean, you guys do fantastic stuff. Jessica Ganitsky and Karma Hansen, and I said your name right again, didn't I?
You did. You nailed it.
From Safe Kids Grand Forks, lots of things going on. You got the phone number, 701-780-1489, or go to safekidsgf.com. Always fun having the people in from Safe Kids of Grand Forks, and special thanks going out to Probitas Promotions today. You know, if you're looking to boost your brand, well, Probitas Promotions will make you stand out from the crowd. Probitas will consult with you at no cost to help you find the perfect swag for your business. Maybe you want some logoed apparel, you know, hats, promotional products, trade show or displays, rewards. Well, they are the region's top provider for free online stores. Probitas stores are the perfect option for your company apparel ordering. Maybe you want some team spirit wear or any type of organization wanting to dress their members with logoed apparel. They've got locations in Grand Forks, Fargo, Bismarck, and Minot. Shop ProbitasPromo.com or call 1-866-PRO-SWAG. Boost your brand and stand out from the crowd with Probitas Promotions. And before we get out of here, I want to wish a congratulations to Walter and Brenda. They're getting married tonight. Congratulations, kids. And by the way, tonight, Red River Valley Catfish Club early sign-up at Up North Pizza. Live music from Jim White. It's going to be a great time. That'll kick off at about 7 o'clock. Wow, don't forget, we're on Amazon Music. You just tell your smart speaker to play GFBS Podcast. It'll do it. Dirty Thursday tomorrow, we're going to talk with Don Roberts about the Red River Valley Motorcycle Bike Show coming up. And we might even have a surprise guest for you, too. And remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. And darn it, hit that notification bell, too, so you know whenever we're coming on live, all right? You know, we all know how great Grand Forks is. Well, Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.